Whenever you're ready, Chairman.
Then we'll go ahead and bring to order the regular Planning and Zoning Commission meeting for Tuesday, August 9th, 2022. We'll start with roll call.
Chairman Lee Young.
Present.
Vice Chairman Dana Hennis.
Present.
Commissioner Tyson Garten.
Present.
Commissioner Jenny Greger. Commissioner Jim Main.
Present.
First item up is our consent agenda.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Next up, under public hearings, we have case number 22-05-SUP, special use permit for in-home daycare.
Good evening, Chairman and members of the Commission. For the record, Planner 2 Jessica Reed, 751 West 4th Street in CUNA. Applicants Florence and Zion Racundo request special use permit approval to operate an in-home group daycare for up to 12 children from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday at 790 West Nannyberry Street. The applicants have completed the required training by Idaho STARS, are both pediatric first aid and CPR certified, have passed the enhanced background check required by the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare, as well as passing both their fire and central district health inspections. The subject site is a one-story single-family home with fully fenced and landscaped backyard with locking gates. Parking for daycare patrons will be met off-street in the driveway, and if approved, the applicants will be required to meet the staff-to-child ratio outlined in Idaho Code 39-1109-4A. Upon review, staff has found the special use permit request meets the requirements as outlined in the Comprehensive Plan, CUNA City Code, and Idaho Code. Staff would recommend the Commission approve case number 22-05-SUP with the conditions as outlined in the staff report. And with that, I'll answer any questions you may have. And as a side note, applicant is present to answer questions but does not wish to speak if necessary.
Okay. Are there any questions for Jessica at this time?
I don't have any.
Okay. Then we'll go ahead and open up the public testimony at 6:03. I don't see anybody signed in to testify on this application. Is there anybody here that would like to testify on this application? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and we'll close the public testimony at 6:04. And I guess that just brings up our discussion. Looks pretty straightforward to me. Between all the certifications and the Central District Health and the Fire Department, everybody's gone through the licensing and that. I don't see any issues on my side.
Yeah, I would agree. It's pretty straightforward.
No, she's been real good. The extra training and everything else, I think the due diligence is beyond what we need there, but it's always good to have more daycare in town, so I don't see anything wrong.
I agree.
Any other thoughts? Okay. And then.
In that case, Mr. Chairman, I move we approve 22-05-SUP for the special use permit for the 790 West Nannyberry Home in-home daycare with the conditions as outlined in the staff report.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Motion carried. Thank you.
Chairman, would you give me just a moment, please?
And Next up, under public hearings, I have case numbers 21-16-AN, 21-11-S, and 21-36-DR, design review for Riverton Subdivision. Troy.
Thank you very much. Good evening, commissioners. For the record, Troy Behunin, Planner 3, CUNA Planning and Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street here in CUNA. So the applications before you this evening request approval to annex approximately 38 acres into the city of CUNA limits. And they wish to apply two different zones, the R8 residential zone and the C2 area commercial zone, in accordance with our future land use map. The preliminary plat approval is requested in order to subdivide the approximately 38 acres into 210 total lots, comprised of 182 single-family lots and 24 common lots, and 4 commercial lots. The applicant has proposed 4.04 acres, or 10.5% of the total project, as qualified open space. The overall density is proposed to be at 3.51 dwelling units per acre, or DUA. Public Works conditionally supports the Riverton subdivision development with the conditions that are listed in Section 5 of the engineer's memo, which is part of your packet. The memo recommends that the developer work with the Public Works Department to provide adequate pressure for potable water through necessary looping and a booster station near the project. Staff highlights the recommendation for additional right-of-way to be dedicated and improved along CUNA Road and Locust Grove Road. Arterial roadways should provide no less than 74 feet of right-of-way in accordance with the City of CUNA Circulation Street Map, or the Street Circulation Map, sorry. The application includes a design review for open space and all of the common lots. The landscape plan that is presented appears to be in general compliance with CUNA City Code. Staff has reviewed the proposed annexation and the preliminary plat, and also the design review for technical compliance with Title V and Title VI of CUNA City Code, Idaho State Statute 67-6511, and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan. And should the Commission recommend approval of the preliminary plat and approve the design review application, staff recommends that the applicant be subject to the proposed conditions as outlined in the staff report. And if the Commission decides to support that and approve that, then please list that as part of your recommended motion. The applicant is present, and they do have a presentation for this evening, and I will be here for any questions that the Commission might have.
Okay. Are there any questions for Troy at this time?
It's on page 9.
Not right now.
I don't have any questions.
Okay. Then we can have the applicant please come forward and state your name and address for the record, please.
Patrick, sorry, hit the red button. There you go.
Good evening. My name is Patrick Connor. My address is 701 South Allen Street, Meridian, Idaho. Thank you for hearing this project tonight. This is Riverton Subdivision, as Troy said. So tonight we are requesting approval for annexation of 38.44 acres. Within that annexation, 33.7 approximately is R8 zone, and then 4.76 acres of the C2 commercial zone on the south end of the property. Our preliminary plat is 210 total lots, 182 of those are single family lots, 24 common lots, and the 4 commercial lots. About 4 acres is qualified open space, which is about 11.6% of the overall project. Here's the vicinity map for the project. It's located in the northeast corner of East CUNA Road and North Locust Grove, kind of equally situated between Falcon Crest and downtown Cuna. The path of annexation is just to the northeast of the site, which is shown a little bit more clearly here. Everything you see in yellow is within city limits. In the future land use map, the site is identified as mixed use. When we first started talking to the city about this project about a year and a half ago, sitting down with economic development, trying to understand what would work best here to satisfy the future land use map, we identified the frontage along Cuna Road as most ideal for commercial ground, whereas the rest of it can kind of transition for residential property north of it. As you can see, just east of the site is that dark purple or dark blue site, which is owned by the school district. They don't have a facility plan yet for that site, but in the future, that will be a large site for potentially high school or middle school. So this will be a prime location for a community subdivision as well as commercial property. And the path of annexation, as shown, is the triangle point just in the northwest corner of the site. So here's the current zoning map around the site. It's a collection of R4, R12, R8, C2, kind of surrounding the whole area. And this is our proposed zoning here. So the C2 on the southern end, adjacent to Cuna Road, and then R8 for the remainder of the property. Here's a shot of the preliminary plat. As I said before, 182 single family lots, 23 common lots, and then 4.76 acres of commercial. And the gross density is 5.37 units per acre, and the net density is just under 8 at 7.14 units per acre. Here's a shot of just some of the homes that we're proposing here on the 50-foot lots and the 40-foot lots. And then on the north part of the site, we have some areas for our, kind of our larger estate lots, opportunity for RV garages, three-car garages, for the lots adjacent to the Cuna Canal and the greenbelt that we have planned on the north side of the property. As far as amenities, we do have a planned tot lot north part of the property. We have the Cuna Canal that runs on the north side. This is part of the city's pathway project. So this is kind of building a piece of that puzzle. So that is shown on the north part. We have a planned dog park in the center of the site, so a fenced-in area for folks to let their dogs off-leash, play with other dogs. We'll have benches and dog way stations and just a fenced-in area for dogs to enjoy. We also have mid-block pathways that kind of divide the larger blocks throughout this project. What you see in blue are the city sidewalks, and then the HOA pathways are shown through the HOA common lots. And then in that pink area on the north part is the Cuna Canal Trail. So this is just a little shot. This is the second time we're building a segment of the Cuna Canal Trail. In Greyhawk, we finished or finishing the segment there and then the Riverton segment down below. So at the end of this, we'll have almost 0.8 miles of this trail built. So it's going to take, you know, a few years for the whole thing to be built out, but we're doing our part, at least on this segment of the pathway master plan. This is just showing some of the ideas of what commercial could be in the future for this site. With the school coming in eventually in time, there's a property owned by a church south of the Cuna Road, as well as it's kind of the Cuna Road is a bridge between Falcon Crest and downtown Cuna. So there's potential for a lot of commercial in this area, whether it's a daycare, auto parts store, restaurants, medical office, everything kind of falls under that C2 commercial that we're proposing tonight. And again, this was something that we've talked with Economic Development Department on. This is just a shot of our phasing plan. Talking to the fire department, they want to ensure we have two points of access to two major roads, which is why phase one connects both Cuna to Cuna and to Locust Grove. Phase two is the north part, the kind of north central, and the east side is phase three. This is just, I think I talked to you all before, but we're finishing up our Hero House in the Greyhawk community. It's an opportunity for us and all of our trade partners to donate all of the proceeds of this home. It will sell in the high fours, probably around $500,000. And all of these seven local nonprofits will be recipients of between $70,000 and $80,000. So that's going to happen around Christmas time. So just wanted to kind of slip that in there, let y'all know it's going to be happening later this year, and we're excited to have it in CUNA this year. And there's a shot of the mayor and owner of our company in the top right of that photo. So again, thank you for having me tonight. We are requesting annexation for the full 38.44 acres, and I mentioned a lot of the attributes of the preliminary plat as shown. I wanted to introduce one thing to you all. Our neighbor to our southeast of the site, we spoke to at length over the neighborhood meetings in this project, and we kind of narrowed down some mitigation things that we wanted to do for him. He's not present here tonight, but I do have something I wanted to give to you all and to enter into the record because I told him I would do it. What we kind of agreed upon is we would build adjacent to his property a 2 to 3 foot berm with a fence on top of the berm for some more privacy for him. There are a lot of large trees on the north side of his property, and so we want to do as best we can to make sure that these trees stay, and so we agreed to not take them down. And if we did need to remove any, we would work with him, and it'd be a mutual sort of decision on which ones stay or go. Where you see the stub road coming down into his property, that would be ACHD right-of-ways, so any trees within that area would need to be removed. Also, talking about irrigation delivery, he wanted to ensure that we didn't interfere with any sort of delivery of that, which is something that we've always honored and that we wanted to include in this letter. So if it's okay with you guys, I wanted to give you all a copy of this letter. Jessica, if you wanted to just read it. Well, that concludes my presentation, but Troy and I stand for any questions you all may have. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any questions for the applicant at this time?
Not at this time.
Thank you.
Just one question. So there was a couple of items that were in the staff report that were talked about adding as conditions for the larger right-of-way for ACHD and the public works and the ACHD traffic mitigation stuff. Do you have any issues with those conditions?
Mr. Commissioner, no, I do not. And I do kind of want to touch on that. We are 100% in agreement with Troy's staff report, getting the Locust Grove section to 37 feet. We showed it as 35, which is what it is by ACHD standard, and our engineer just kind of plugged that in. We can adjust that without a problem. The same thing, and I guess it's worth a bigger discussion of along CUNA Road, do we want that to be 37, or do we want it to be the width for a full future five-lane road, which would be 48 feet of right-of-way, both of which we're flexible with. I think right now it's planned for a 70-foot right-of-way, but if there was talk on extending that right-of-way to 98 feet or whatever, we're open to eating into some of that commercial ground to make sure that we accommodate the wider width of the street if we need to. And then the ACHD, they wanted to see some traffic mitigation along our north road because the deflection is less than 45 degrees, which there's a number of ways we can do that through traffic islands or bulb outs. Mm-hmm. We've worked with ACHD a great deal the past year on what is an acceptable traffic calming thing, so we're completely in agreement with that as well.
Okay. So, and the public works recommendations as well.
Yeah. So past 6 months, we worked with them about how to help the water pressure in this area. So it requires both an inline valve improvement further closer to Falcon Crest, as well as a water looping about 4,400 feet of a water extension that we need to bring down. So that will help redundancy and help bring this pressure zone, just this one zone in between downtown CUNA and Falcon Crest, which the water pressure just isn't where it should be. And so giving those improvements is going to help our site, but also adjacent sites. And we've talked with the school district on kind of facility plan or utility planning in this area and trying to work together and ensure that that they know some of the improvements that are coming that we're putting forth. In addition, in the northwest corner, you can see it's kind of grayish blue. That is a PI pond for pressurized irrigation. I believe it's half a million gallons. So working with Public Works on making sure that's in place for that regional PI utility there for our site and some adjacent sites as well.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Then go ahead and open the public testimony at 6:21. And I have listed in here to testify Robbie, you know.
Robbie Reno, Kuna School District, 711 East Porter Street, Kuna, Idaho. Mr. Chairman Young and the commissioners, the district, we're in favor of this project because of the willingness of Patrick and his company to work with us on the improvements that will allow us to hopefully build a site on that, pending a bond. You know, always that's our biggest fear is, you know, these sites come in, but it's up only because of a bond, and that's what we need. But also, you know, being not stuck with the pressurized irrigation or the booster irrigation for the water, is that put on us, on the taxpayers, additionally for the bonds, that bond money can be spent for the school and the school improvements. So we've been working closely with Mr. O'Connor on those improvements, and we're in favor of that because of that. It saves taxpayers money, and it helps being a good neighbor. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. I do not see anybody else signed up to testify on this application. Is there anybody here who would like to testify on this one? Okay. Seeing none, I'll go ahead and close the public testimony at 6:22, which will bring up our discussion again. Would you like to go first?
No, Mr. Chairman, I do have some questions for Patrick, if he could come back. Looking at the city's review comments on this, the pond is, you're building the pond, correct?
Correct.
So it won't be part of the CUNA city irrigation system?
Well, we're building it, and then I believe it's dedicated. Maybe Troy can clarify, or Public Works could clarify, but my understanding that it's a regional pump station for the PI system.
So eventually that will be taken over by the city?
Is that a question? Is that a question for staff?
Yeah, that's the question for you, Troy.
Okay. So my understanding was it's a booster station for the potable water versus the PI, but if there's one that's needed for the PI, whatever Public Works needs, whether it's a booster station for PI or for potable water, Patrick is correct. It would be designed, it would be built all on their dime and then to our standards, and then it would be dedicated to the city, and then it would be a regional facility.
Okay.
To serve other properties beyond their border.
So my question is, where do you get the water that will fill the pond? Will that come out of the CUNA Canal?
Correct, yeah. That's where the current allocation of water comes out of the CUNA Canal. That's correct.
Okay, so have you looked into how many users there are that get supply water from that property, across that property?
As far as, well, this particular pond will only take the share of water for that particular site, for this particular 38-acre site. As more users attach onto it, for example, if there is a housing development north of it that need to pressurize irrigation, that water share would also be shared within that pond as well.
I guess my concern is not future water users from the pond. Are there any supply ditches that go across that property now that you're going to be impeding the flow of water through?
So that's something our engineering needs to try to figure out. So in talking to Mr. Sessions, he thinks that some of his supply comes from across the site, in which case it will be piped and not impeded, as well as the site in the far southeast corner. As far as servicing every other site around us, I believe they all get water from their own outtake of the CUNA Canal. Any other ditches that are currently on the property are more for field drain, for the agricultural use that's out there. But if there's any deliveries that we're not aware of, we'll ensure that those are not restricted.
Well, the city comments are kind of vague. They say existing irrigation ditches must be relocated as needed and as approved by the irrigation ditch company and users. So I guess what I would like to do is request that your engineers go to the ditch company, the CUNA, whichever one it is, and get a list of users on that ditch, and that your engineer contact all those users and make them aware of what you're doing out there, and that you comply with Idaho statutes regarding the impeding of water to users.
Absolutely, yeah. As far as the irrigation-owned facilities on the site, it's strictly the CUNA Canal in the north part of the property.
Correct.
So, yeah, that's under engineers' contact to make sure that no delivery is impeded, and we're committed to following Idaho statute, ensuring that all water's rights are guaranteed.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions? For... Right, thank you.
I have a question quickly for staff. So the Public Works memo was kind of a little bit vague. We have full service ability for this site. Since it's on the east side of Meridian, we've had issues with that part in the past. Are the pump stations and lift stations and everything accepting this much usage?
That's a good question. For the record, Troy Buchanan, Planner 3. It's a good question, Commissioner Hannes. This particular project is not located, is located within the Orchard lift station basin, which there is capacity, and there doesn't seem to be any sewer issues. There's really not a pressurized irrigation capacity issue. There's not really a potable water capacity issue. There's a potable water pressure issue. And while there was discussion between the commissioners and the applicant, I did revisit the engineer's memo, and item number 6 under pressurized irrigation states that the existing line for pressurized irrigation is approximately a half a mile down the road. The applicant is not proposing to connect to that. Rather, they are opting, I'll just read it. It just says that the applicant has opted to design and construct a standalone pressurized irrigation pump and pond until future developments are closer, and then it would be removed, and then they would connect half a mile is where it's at, and that's what the city engineers recommended. Now, in terms of the potable water, there may be a need for a booster station, as he describes in, I believe it's in section 5. And so if a booster station is required, then the applicant will be required to design and construct, whatever is needed to supply it. So it's not a capacity issue, it's a pressure issue. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
I'm glad you asked that question. I wanted to clarify that without interrupting the discussion, so.
Questions for staff at this time, but I think the overall look of the site and the project looks good. And I, you know, I, we green space, the amenities that are being provided. I think the C2 along Kuna Road would be applicable as it's developing, but really the my issue with it is popping an R8 in an area that's got nothing but 10-acre lots around it. I just can't wrap my head around that density there at this time. I just can't. I think the project is good. I think what they've offered with past projects are good. I just think it's too dense for this place. That's my opinion.
No, I agree. That's one issue that I had. There's no transition currently, but, you know, everything's county around it. So, it's hard to say what it would transition to other than the future land use map, and that's all mixed use. So it's a hard one to see what we're intending to get. I mean, I see the end in what we're trying to do. But yeah, the first one's always going to be a shock.
Yeah.
I like the layout. I like what they're offering. And I kind of like the project, you know, the mixture of it. But yeah, it's the one thing that struck me is, yeah, there's large lots all around it. And it's going to be stuck right in the middle.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with the chairman. I think that the lots look really small compared to what's around it. The other thing is I'd like to see some larger green areas inside that subdivision. Right now we've got a couple small parks, a dog park, but we don't have anything where you can send your kids to play football. In addition to that, on the commercial lots, how are those lots accessed? They're not accessed off of Kuna Road. Is there any thought to how those commercial lots would be accessed?
Is that a question for the applicant?
That's a question for the applicant at this time.
Yes, Commissioner, the lots are accessed off Kuna Road. There is that main driveway that comes down to the center of the site, and then what's not shown are any sort of commercial driveways that would come off that main lot. So the idea, and it's not particularly shown, but it's if you look at that north-south road that comes right off Kuna Road, there would be a driveway to the east and a driveway to the west that would access those two commercial lots, and then it would be kind of like a frontage road to the other ones. So that there'd be one access point for those commercial lots.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'm looking at the future land use map, and it's, you know, it fits the usage of what we intend to be at in the future.
So does R6 and R4. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, with the commercial use in that mix, I think that fits. It's just the density of the overall site. That's my... You know, as he states in his paragraph about when they approached the city, they said, you know, commercial is a good blend in medium density residential, but RA for the entire site seems heavy. At least in my opinion.
Technically, it's private high density residential, not medium. We'll worry about these little lots on the sides right back in the commercial area, too. If there's not a transition between those, it's almost like having, it'd be nice to have some open space between the backside of the parking lot and commercial to the first house or two. I do agree with Jim as well that there's not a lot of, you know, a good area to kind of let the kids out and play. I mean, the top lot's a decent sized one, but doesn't have a lot of open area.
Well, it looks like the lots along the north boundary are larger than the lots on the east and west. And I would think that if we took the western side along Roscoe and Simon Way and increased the size of those lots to kind of buffer, maybe bring them up to what they are on the one that fronts on Locust Grove. Increase the size of those lots and maybe the lots on the southeastern portion of the subdivision. That might create a little bit more of a buffer.
Mr. Connor, would you be opposed to entertaining that idea of maybe bringing the density down on those two sides in order to kind of give a little more transition?
So, Mr. Commissioner, are you talking about the houses that are adjacent to the Sessions property in the southeast? On the east side and the northeast?
Right, along Simon Way and Roscoe, and then over on Ray Avenue as well. I'm not sure which property is the Sessions property.
So I kind of see the house and there's a big shop. Yeah, I think we're open to that. Part of this, the reason why the lot sizes are smaller there and they get larger towards the top is that in looking at this area kind of holistically, the Sessions property, as I call it, and then the property to the south, In the future land use map, looking at the mixed uses, most likely that's a commercial corner. And so, you know, it could be higher density residential as well. But typically for just land use transitions, commercial, and then it's usually smaller lots, and then as you get further away, it gets larger. And so that was the idea of having those smaller lots adjacent to there, because as that property develops in the future, whenever, that happens, we want it to be kind of an orderly sort of transition. I think we're open to it. If it's something that you guys think is a priority to have a transition to the larger lots, I think we're definitely open to that. Part of that letter that I gave you guys was the mitigation of that. And talking to Mr. Sessions, I think he understands the future use of his house in the long term. And he wasn't really pointing either way for the size of the lots, but he just wanted for the time being for that berm and the making sure we honor keeping those trees in place just for some privacy adjacent to his current use in that site. But he wasn't necessarily opposed to the width of the lots. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but for him, more than anything, it was just kind of the site people being able to see in his property and having just a little bit more privacy. So I think we're open to adjusting the lot size and transition if it's something you all want to see. I understand both sides of the argument. I just kind of want to say kind of why we arrived at the transition is where it's at. And just to touch on the density standpoint, so the overall gross density is less than its 5-point-something units per acre, which typically how you measure density is you look at the gross number of that as opposed to looking at the net density. And so that net density number is taking all the green space and all the right-of-way and everything that's not on the house property. So in that sense, the density may be a little skewed, look a little higher because you're taking everything else out. But if you look at it from a gross density standpoint, it's still below that R6. What was formerly described as the R6 zone, if what was acceptable for density in that R6 zone. I know that we look at it differently now without a zone change. So just wanted to kind of touch on that. And as far as the green space, we are showing 4 acres of green space. It's not perfectly shown on this plan, but if you look as that commercial drive comes north on Cuner Road, there is a large park there that takes up the space of about 2.5 lots right there in the center of the site. And as you move further north, it has a dog park on one side that takes space of about 1 lot, and then an open field on that right side, which takes place the size of a whole lot, if not bigger. So that's kind of like, I know it's not as a football field size, but it is an area for, you know, playing catch or frisbee or running around with kids and then having that dog park there. And we're trying to kind of spread the green space out throughout the whole site for equity standpoint. We could just put a giant park right in the middle of it, but then kind of on the periphery of outside of that site, the park would be not as accessible. So that's where we're trying to space them out as best we could. Again, we're showing greater than 10% open space, which we prioritize it. It's a big amenity for folks as they move into homes. And one of the most important things, and that's why I had that slide about the pathways for any buyers that we have, is they just want to be able to walk and ride their bikes and pathway connectivity that has like a purpose. So if you can go from that opening green space to the dog park green space to the tot lot, kind of gives like a little bit of a chain of parks of a destination within that community. So that was the philosophy behind that. So I know it's not shown perfectly well. It's hard to tell scale on this thing, but we are showing 4 acres of open space on the site. Not to mention the pathway on the north part is a major amenity. And I know it's kind of a path to no way right now, but in the future it will be more of kind of a green belt.
No, thank you. And, yeah, understood about the future. That's, like, what we're struggling with. It's the first one to go in over here, so it's always going to have the target as to, you know, it's going to be the odd man out. As future things develop, we understand the intent, but, you know, it's what we're struggling with. What's your thoughts?
I don't know that I have anything to add other than I don't disagree with the green space. I think there I'd like to see a little bit more. However, we've got a lot of parks in every neighborhood that is built, and Parks and Recreation is looking at adding more parks. And I look at it as this is an added benefit for this neighborhood. I struggled with this when I first looked at it, and I spent hours reading through it. And I'm going to have to go with the recommendations is when when Public Works and ACHD, with their recommendations, you know, we've got a good partner here that I want to see continue in the city. I think he works well with the schools and something we definitely need. I don't have a problem with it. I don't like the density, but they're within the means. I don't see a way around that. I just struggle both ways with it. I've read through it.
I know this is a tough one. Like I said, it's the first one going in the area, mm-hmm. so it's got a different look. I mean, I like the spread out parks. I'm not sure if one bigger park would be any more benefit than a bunch of littler parks, because it gives people closer access to something where they can go out with their kids and play. But just a couple of blocks away, we're hopefully going to have the large playing fields,
right?
Down the road,
right?
As the schools, are able to do something with their property there. I mean, I like this. I do almost say I'd like to see maybe some of the outer line edges maybe get spaced out a little bit more. But overall, I like what they do in their subdivisions. I don't know.
Any other comments or anything to add before
a motion? Do we want to just have them come back and kind of replat those edges a little bit, give us a little more space? I mean, I understand what they're saying, and they've already worked with the neighbor, but
I think that would help mitigate perceived impacts on the sides of the development. I still think it's too dense for the area, but that would probably be enough to
help. So how do we direct? I mean, we can't just say, do we want to take one lot, 10 lots, 40 lots out?
We got to look at this whole map here.
If we state that it's more like the transition on the north side.
On Rollo? Rollo Street?
Yeah. Because that's probably not going to take a ton out.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Probably take 3 or 4 out, I imagine.
What are those, the 60-foot wide lots?
Something. Not the wrong sheet. I have to look at the color.
Trying to find the whole map. So are we, I guess if you're looking at the plan, are we talking about the lots on block 7? Am I seeing that correctly?
Yeah.
And the same along Ray, along that block?
Block 10.
Yeah. seems specific enough for
okay.
those two blocks.
Mr. Connor, would that be something that you guys would be able to present by the next meeting? Would that be a good time frame if we tabled it for 2 weeks?
I believe so. Can we just clarify which two blocks you guys just I want to make sure I did it
right. So block 7 along
so that kind of 7 shaped
yes.
block
yep. and then block 10 just over on
the far
Ray Avenue.
Okay. And then so right now they're 40 feet wide. You said you wanted them 10 feet wider.
Do you want to do 50 or 60? What are your ones up in block 2?
I think the ones up
the
north are
block 2 are 60 feet wide.
Those are 60, yeah.
Which that gets them very close to an R4 width thin lot. So I'd
like to see it go to 60.
I think it's applicable.
Yeah, so though I think that what the effect of that, at least on that block 7, if the shape is 7, I don't know if it's still block 7, I don't have blocks in front of me, but right now that's 25 lots, and I think it would go down to 17 lots if we adjust those from 40 feet to 60 feet. So just letting you know the impact. But, yeah, I think we can make that adjustment by next meeting. Next meeting being in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, we just want to make sure if we table it that that's
yes.
acceptable to
enough you. Time for you to.
Yeah, okay, it is.
Thank you.
Does that fit in with what you were thinking?
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, Mr. Chairman, I move we table case numbers 21-16-AN, 21-11-S, 21-36-DR. For the Riverton subdivision until the next planning and zoning meeting on, was that August 23rd, 2022?
Yes.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Staff would just like to clarify, are you asking for all of Block 7 to be reduced or just that portion on the north?
Yes.
Yes, which
the
was
the entire
one?
Block.
All of Block 7, and did you also include Block 10 or mm-hmm. was, okay. Thank you.
The next item up is our case numbers 22-05-S, 22-14-DR for Falcon Crest South subdivision.
Good evening, Commissioners. One more time for the record, Troy B. Hunan, Planner 3, Kuna Planning and Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street. The applications before you this evening request preliminary plat approval in order to subdivide approximately 41 acres into 184 lots. 170, and that comprises 172 single-family lots and 9 common lots and 2 common driveway lots. The applicant is proposing approximately 5.17 acres or 12.7% of the project as open space, and the gross density is proposed to be about or approximately 4.2 dwelling units per acre, and the net density is proposed at 5.72 dwelling units per acre. Public Works does conditionally support the Falcon Crest subdivision development with the conditions that are supported or of that support listed in Section 5 of the engineer's memo. The Planning and Zoning Department does agree with the Public Works recommendations. The applicant does propose 2 private driveways for a cluster of 3 lots each within the subdivision. Staff has recommended that the applicant be conditioned to work with the city engineer for proper easement widths for the project as a whole, but in particular, these clustered homes and that are served by these private driveways. In the application for design review for the common lots, staff highlights that staff did recommend that the notes for tree planting be corrected and resubmitted for staff approval. And with the exception of the notes for planting trees, the landscape plan presented to staff does appear to follow Kuna City Code, and it is for the commission to decide this evening whether they would like to approve it or not. Staff has reviewed the proposed preliminary plat for technical compliance with Kuna City Code and the design review for compliance with Title V and Title VI of Kuna City Code, Idaho State Statute 67-6511, the Kuna Comprehensive Plan, and the map. And should the commission recommend approval of the preliminary plat and approve the design review, staff recommends that the applicant be subject to the proposed recommended conditions as outlined in the staff report. And I will be here for any questions you might have. Blah, blah, blah.
Are there any questions for Troy?
Not at this time.
Not at this time.
The applicant is here tonight, and they do have a presentation.
Okay. And if we don't have anything for Troy, yep. Please state your name and address for the record, please.
Good evening, Mark Tate, 1673 West Shoreline Drive, Boise, Idaho, 83702. Thank you for having me here tonight. I know a number of you have seen the project, or at least different parts of the project already, and I'm just going to say we're going to be here a lot of different times over and over again, so you're going to get to see a lot of progress with the project as we move along, and we have made a ton of progress. Super excited about how things are coming along if you haven't been out there recently. But just to kind of bring everybody up to speed on a little bit of background, I'll go really fast with this and ask any questions. But the project overall, the Valor Master Plan Community, which most people know as Falcon Crest, the annexation was completed, the zoning back in, I believe, 2019. We have a development agreement for the project that covers exactly how the zoning works, lot sizes, densities, how we can move density around from different areas, and gives us a lot of flexibility, which is necessary in a real master plan community that will be built over a number of years. The project, the yellow area in kind of the southwest part of the master plan, is the Trilogy at Valor, which is all a 55 and older age-restricted community. We have, with Shea Homes, about 60 homes under construction, along with the model home complex. Right now, they're starting about 10 homes a month and ramping up from there as soon as we can get more lots in front of them. So huge amount of interest out there, hundreds of people on the waiting list for that project, that part of the project. The area that you see kind of north of the Trilogy area is called the Reveille community, which wraps around the new Robin Hood nine-hole golf course there. We're putting the finishing touches on that golf course and should have it open to play in probably October, I want to say late September. So getting very close on that. So we're really excited. It's looking really good out there. To the east of the Trilogy area, we actually haven't filed that preliminary plat. Well, I take it back. We have filed that preliminary plat with the city. It hasn't come in front of you yet, but that's a future thing that will come in front of you. And then to the north of that, we have filed the Gulf Villages preliminary plats, which have been approved, which are those kind of 2G parcels and the cluster patio home parcel H there. So we've started the grading in that area, doing the earthwork. We've got a number of golf improvements that we need to do around those development areas that are ongoing, and bringing utilities up there right now. So a lot going on out there. We've got a lot of interest in the community from the public, and we're very excited about that. And we're just going to continue to have preliminary plats in front of you. One reason you're probably wondering, well, why don't you just get it all over with and save us all the trouble, but, you know, we don't want to get so far out in front of ourselves as the market changes and as we kind of figure out, you know, what people are liking and not liking. And we want to tailor it to the market, so we don't want to kind of overload the system and then have to come back and change things. So that is the nice thing about the development agreement is, you know, we're already approved for the density and the units and the lot size. So these preliminary plats become more of an administrative function to make sure that we're complying with that development agreement that we spent, you know, years on with the city. This is a little bit closer zoom in of the trilogy at Valor. The area labeled B2 is the model home complex, which Shea Homes is getting ready to grand open here pretty soon. We're very excited about that. Just to the north and east of that is the community clubhouse for the Trilogy area that I'll have a little bit more information on. But if I'm not mistaken, I think you guys maybe just got a presentation on that in the recent past for design review of that club area. So the Trilogy area, it's fully gated. So there's four main accesses, one by the clubhouse area, one off Cloverdale Road, one off Cuna Road, and then another one to the northeast off of the future collector road that goes east-west there. So this phase would include the Cuna Road access. The phase abuts a future commercial development on the west side. And I should also point out that this submittal actually re-preliminary plats some of the original preliminary plats, so about 80 units or about half the units in this were actually included in the first preliminary plat that we did for the project. The reason that we have a change, we've redesigned Freedom Golf Holes number 5, 6, and 7, which you see in this exhibit here. So number 5 was like the longest par 5 that you've ever seen, like something like 750 yards, ridiculous. It's now a par 4. Number 5 is now a par 5. Sorry, number 5 is the par 4 now. 6 is a par 5. And then number 7 goes over the new pond that we've built and dug and haven't put water in yet, but we're going to hopefully very soon. We dug about a 20-foot deep 3-acre lake in pure basalt out there, so that was a pretty fun undertaking. I wouldn't recommend doing that again. This preliminary plat has 184 lots, as Troy mentioned. Just a couple of images. We've got the grading done. The signage is going in soon on the main access, which is back open. We're really excited about that. We had it closed down for quite a while. It was a huge pain for access to golf. So the road was rebuilt and repaved, new curbing, drainage, roadway, and then we're putting in a series of walls and signs as you come into the project. We also completed the roundabout that is kind of the feature point as you come into the community. Landscaping and irrigation is going in right now into that area. This is the preliminary plat that's in front of you tonight. I think I showed it to you in the overall, in the northwest corner, there's a community park, and then on the east side there, you can see the new access, which will be gated. This gives you a better idea of the open space, the park in there, and then the pathway connectivity. I wanted to bring your attention to a couple of things here. There's a few conditions in the staff report that I wanted to talk about. One was to add a pathway connecting down to Cuna Road, which we are okay with. So that would basically extend that open space corridor that goes north-south in the middle of it with a pedestrian connection out to Cuna Road right in the middle of that block. So that's something that Troy asked for. And normally I would go over these with Troy and we'd talk about them, and I didn't have an opportunity to do that. So apologies to Troy. So he's getting to hear this for the first time. A lot of times we'll get some of this figured out without having to bring it to you guys. There was another comment about connectivity to the west, which is a commercial area. I'm good with adding pedestrian pathways connecting into the west, but there's a comment about adding a street stub there. But since it's a private and gated community, we don't want to have a street stub into a commercial area. I think that's allowed, you know, under our development agreement, and don't really want to have pass-through traffic from a commercial area. So I would just ask that that be part of the motion. We will have plenty of good access into that commercial area, pedestrian access into that commercial area as well. And just talking a little bit more about the 55 and older community, you know, having that kind of privacy and age restriction is very, very important to the residents, and it's a pretty great opportunity to have that. So being able to make sure that they have that privacy is important. I think this probably was what came before you guys recently for design review. This is the guardhouse at the main entry. This is the site plan for the club over there, which the parking lot is going in now. All the utilities are done, and they are submitted for a building permit on a number of the buildings. This is kind of a complex there. You know, budget just for this portion of the amenity alone is, you know, somewhere north of $12 million. It is a massive club, and it's hard to get the scale of this, but there's two different swimming pools plus an outdoor spa, six pickleball courts, gym, food service, event space, dock on the lake, all that sort of thing. Rendering of the club, and there is the final rendering there. Just to wrap things up very quickly, I do have one more comment on the staff report. In the engineer's letter, in the second paragraph, the last sentence, there's a sentence that I would ask you to add two words to in the recommendation that would be if necessary. So the last sentence reads, before the next approval of any Falcon Crest subdivision phase, the New York lift station pumps will need to be ordered. We've sized the lift station to be able to be expanded as we develop the project. We don't have any residents out there yet flushing toilets. Did not have a chance to talk to Public Works about the condition, and they might be talking about the next preliminary plat, but it's sort of written vague right now. And so I think if necessary covers us. We know that the pumps aren't necessary today, and we're going to do a whole bunch more phases. I would estimate that we have at least 500 homes that need to be occupied before any sort of expansion needs to be talked about, which we'll definitely be doing. So just wanted to straighten that out. I think we reached out to Public Works, and generally they didn't have time to put anything in writing, but I think we should be safe on that one. So those were my two requests, the street stub and the adding if necessary. Everything else looks great to me. This is about 170 lots in this preliminary plat, and it's sort of mind-blowing to say this out loud, but just in the 55 and older community, that's about 1 year's inventory for this project. That's how in demand this type of product is out there. It just is, it's an incredible opportunity for retired people to have those amenities and activities. One other thing I wanted to note, I know Robbie is here, and I just talked to him at the beginning. It wasn't really clear in the agency transmittal that went to the school district that this is part of the 55 and older part of the community, so no students generated for the school district. So I know he did provide a letter, but wanted to make that clear for you guys. And with that, I would stand for any questions.
Are there any questions for the applicant at this time?
I don't have any.
Yeah, it was a pretty thorough presentation, so I think I'll get the answers.
Thank you.
And then we'll open up the public testimony at 7:09. And first I have listed Robbie Rowe in opposition.
Robbie Reno, Kuna School District, 711 East Porter Street, Kuna, Idaho. Chairman Young and Commissioners, yes, put some confusion on if this was the 55 or not older part of the section. So we in communication with Mark Tate that this is the 55 and older, and we know that part of the section of this grand plan, there is a section of multifamily, and so we hold our comment till that part comes. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I don't see anybody else signed in to testify on this application. Is there anybody else here that would like to testify on this application who is not signed?
Anybody else.
All right. Seeing none, I'll go ahead and close the public testimony at 7:10, which brings us to our discussion on the plant.
We've seen enough of this. You know, this has been going on for a while, and I think we were all I was prepared for it, so I don't see a problem. I'm excited to see something like this in our community. I think it's well done with all the pools and restaurants and amenities that they have and the pickleball courts, and I think it's much needed for a 55 plus.
No, I agree. I, you know, for this specific area in here, you know, we're kind of looking at one area of this whole project, which is what we're focusing on today. But overall, I think the scheme and the plan and everything's providing a really nice product. And, you know, for the area that we're looking at for this one, you know, we've got some open space, we've got some connectivity. The landscaping looks appropriate and looks nice. You know, we don't have to have a tot lot, obviously. I think it's a good presentation. I think it's well thought out.
I think it's consistent with the development agreement and the densities that were discussed in the beginning. So,
I agree. I think it's what we've expected, and I think it's been done very well. Okay.
In that case, Mr. Chairman, I move we recommend approval of 22-05-S for the preliminary plat with the conditions as outlined in the staff report, with the additional conditions as spoken with adding a pathway that continues to Cuna Road and a pathway to the commercial area, not a stub street, given the explanation. And then adding the word, if necessary, to the second paragraph, last sentence of the engineer's memo, and to work with Public Works to make sure everything's addressed when it needs to be addressed.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. What? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Design review. So, Mr. Chairman, I then move we approve 22-14-DR design review for Falcon Crest South subdivision with the conditions as outlined in the staff report and the additional conditions as we spoke with the pathway connecting down to Cuna Road, the pathway to the commercial section, and not a sub-street, and then adding the to the engineer's memo, the words, if necessary, in the second paragraph, last sentence, and to work with Public Works to make sure that everything's addressed when it needs to be.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Okay. Then, next up under business items, we have case number 22-21-DR design review for Robin Hood number 1 pool house.
Good evening, Chairman. Oh, sorry.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Just rolled right in there. Good evening, Chairman and members of the commission. For the record, Planner 2, Jessica Reed, 751 West 4th Street in Cuna. Conquer Group request design review approval for the Robin Hood subdivision number 1 pool house with associated ramada and trellis to be constructed on lot 1, block 6. The approximately 800 square foot pool house on the northeast of the subject site is proposed to contain 2 restrooms, a storage area, as well as an ADA accessible drinking fountain under the covered area which faces the pool. The facade offers brick veneer, vertical board and batten siding, metal soffits and roof, metal doors, and wood details, all in a variety of neutral colors. The ramada opposite the pool house is proposed to have a diameter of 10 feet and be set on 12 by 8 columns. The roof is proposed to be 26 gauge standing seam metal over roofing felt. The trellis, situated near the pool house, is proposed to be 20 foot by almost 22 feet and will offer an additional shaded seating area. All proposed materials are to be stained or painted to match the pool house. Staff would note that all metal is required to have a concealed fastener system. Proposed landscaping for the site consists of turf, and no other plantings have been indicated on the landscape plan. Fencing has been indicated, however, no material specifications were provided. Additionally, a marquee wall or monument sign has been indicated, but was also not part of the design review request. Staff notes the applicant shall be required to submit an updated landscape plan with fencing and planting details to staff for review and approval prior to submitting for any building permit. This proposed project is intended to serve only the homeowners within this private community and will be accessed via pedestrian sidewalks previously installed during development of the subdivision. Upon review, staff finds the application generally complies with CUNA City Code Title V, and staff recommends that if the commission approves case number 22-21-DR, the applicant be subject to the conditions of approval listed in the staff's report, as well as any additional conditions this decision-making body would wish to impose. Thank you, and I will answer any questions you may have.
Are there any questions for Jessica?
Not at this time.
No.
Okay. Then, does the applicant have anything to add to Jessica's? Okay. Then that leads us back to our part.
I think it's a nice different kind of layout. I like the areas that it's giving the trellis as well as the ramada. I guess I'm not used to that term, but I'm just an engineer. Otherwise, I don't have any issues with it. I think it's a good presentation. I think, you know, some of the other information we'll see with regards to landscaping down the road, but for the pool house and ramada and trellis, I think it's going to be nice.
Yeah, I would agree. I like it. I like the park next to it. I think it blends in well, goes right with what they're doing out there.
I agree with the appearance of the building. I do have a couple of comments, though, for the applicant. In looking at the plans, I've designed public restroom facilities for a long time, and this looks like it's a residential construction. Wood frame with sheetrock. And I think if you're going to have public in there, especially children, kids, that you may want to look at something more durable on the inside that won't have to be repaired quite often. Other than that comment, I'm pleased with the way that the building looks.
Comment, Chief? No, I'm in agreement with the rest.
In that case, Mr. Chairman, I move we approve 22-21-DR design review for Robin Hood number 1 pool house, ramada, and trellis with the conditions as outlined in the staff report.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Then that brings up next item under business, and that would be case number 22-22- design review for the Rising Sun
Hello again, Chairman and members of the Commission. For the record, Planner 2, Jessica Reed, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. Conger Group, on behalf of M3, request design review approval for an approximately 1,254 square foot pool house and associated landscaping located at 2186 East Thea Drive of the Rising Sun Subdivision Number 2. The proposed pool house will contain two restrooms, a storage area, and ADA accessible bottle filler drinking fountain, which will be installed under the overhang facing the pool. The facade is proposed to be brick veneer, vertical hardy board and batten siding, metal fascia and doors, and stucco in neutral colors. Landscaping for the site provides turf on the southern portion of the parcel outside the fence which surrounds the pool. Abundant grasses, perennial shrubs and trees ring the pool deck and provide privacy for patrons. 6-foot black square tube fencing is proposed around the pool area and provides two gated entries. The subject site will be accessed via pedestrian walkways previously installed during subdivision construction. Upon complete review, staff finds the application generally complies with Title V of CUNA City Code, Comprehensive Plan, and Idaho Code. Staff recommends that if the Commission approves case number 22-22DR, the applicant be subject to the conditions listed in staff's report, as well as any additional conditions the decision-making body wishes to impose. Thank you, and I will answer questions you may have.
Are there any questions for Jessica?
I don't have any.
No.
Okay. And anything the applicant would like to add to Jessica's presentation? Okay. Then, again, that's to us. And similarly to the previous one, this I think it fits in with the surrounding. It'll be nice to have it over there by the pickle courts and, mm-hmm. and the rest. So I like the last. Don't have any issue with what's presented in this one.
Yeah, I agree.
No, I like everything that's going on over there. I think it's going to provide a community amenity as well as this particular one for the actual subdivision. They've been real gracious in providing this whole parking lot and floating access, which has been going to be nice.
Absolutely.
So I have no problems. I think everything looks good.
Well, I have one question for the applicant.
Mark Tate, 1673 West Shoreline Drive, for the record.
So maybe you could just explain real quickly how this whole corner works. So we've got parking for tubers, I would assume,
mm-hmm.
which is nice. It'll help the people in Strobel. And then you've got tennis courts. Is that for the subdivision or for the park, the tubers?
Sure, great question. So a little bit of backstory on that park in the southeast corner. So we are building that as a future city park. So everybody in the city will have access to the playground, pickleball courts, and parking lot. And then we've put in a large turf area along the edge of Indian Creek. And we've actually stubbed sewer and water and utilities to that area. So working with Bobby, the parks director, was a really good opportunity to at least get utilities in if the city at a later date wants to put in a concession stand or like a tube rental or air pumps or, you know, a lot of different options there. So we weren't sure it was necessary today, but it was nice to be able to plan ahead on that. And so that whole park will be open to the public, and then the swimming pool across the street will be private, and we kind of wanted to separate them with the street just so it wouldn't get confused as far as what was open to the public and what was not. And then the whole open space corridor along Indian Creek will be city open space and pathway. And then we're building that second park over on the west corner, which has a trellis and ramada area overlooking the creek there. And then we'll do some improvements down along the creek so people can access the water in that location. So it's really one long linear park with two nodes on either side of it.
Great, thank you.
Yep.
Any other concerns or questions?
No, in that case, Mr. Chairman, I move we approve 22-22-DR design review for the Rising Sun number 2 pool house with the conditions as outlined in the staff report.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. And that is the end of the agenda that I see. Are there anything staff would like to add or any comments? Commissioners?
Just a question for the commissioners. We already spoke with Commissioner Main and Commissioner Greger about this, but are you guys using the iPads that the city distributed to you, or are you using other devices to view the packets?
Both.
I do use it to view the packets.
Perfect. Thank you.
Depends where I'm at the day.
Yes, true.
All well, right. With that.
Then, yes.
Is there anything else? I would like to motion we adjourn.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. We are adjourned.